So it's one thing when the man of God is there in your presence, but even more so when he's not around, that we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You got to know that. That's why you can't be appended to anybody else, especially, you know, that's the human tendency, is to append yourself to the person that is put forth in authority, whether it's in a church environment or any other environment in the culture. Because people get appended to personalities. That's the trick of the devil, is to get somebody appended to a personality. And when that person isn't around, then that connection is lost, and that person is just basically just lost and blown in the wind. It's like being three sheets to the wind drunk. That's where they got that from, a sail on a boat, on a ship. It's like if it was three sheets to the wind, that means the sails weren't tied down, and they were just flopping around in the wind. They weren't secure to the mast, and the boat was just wobbling around like a drunk, because there was no control. So we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. You have to get this you have to know this for you, and have this as this is my lifeblood. What must I do to be saved? That's the question. What must I do to be saved? And it's not just sitting around listening to messages. You have to actively engage in this thing. You have to be a participant in salvation, to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, and get on with the Father's business. That's what this all boils down to, is preaching the gospel, not just being an intake. You're just not intaking and downloading all the time, but there's some uploading going on. And that works in the spiritual sense and in the natural sense. We'll see that later. For it is God which works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So God, He has a will. He wants us to do this. We have to, God works in you both to will. We have to get the will to do this. God is, He wants us to be willing to do this. And then we have to want to do it. And then so it's a combination of our will being activated to do whatever His good pleasure is. And that's between you and Him. It's between me and Him. And it's going to work to the edifying of the church. So don't get dismayed. At some point it's going to happen when, you know, things look like it's just dried up and nothing's happening. Fear not. Fear not. Okay, this is coming from God. So He's going to do. Remember He said before He's going to complete this work. So we can't sweat it. Do all things. Do all things. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. That one there can be a tough pill to swallow. How many times do you want to complain about this and that? The guy at work, I ain't never seen anybody that's so, just so hard to work with, and just always just never doing, it's always his way. There's no ebb and flow. Do all things without complaining and disputing. So disputings has to do with more than one person when you're involved in a dispute, and that lends itself to backbiting and talking behind somebody's back. Do all things without that. No murmuring, no disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the children, the sons of God, without rebuke. Without, what that means is without being discredited. They may verbally say something about you, but it won't be true. You can't be discredited, because it's your conduct and your lifestyle that is brought forth, and you'll be without rebuke, without discredit. in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Boy, isn't that the desire? Isn't that the desire? But know this, that we're in a crooked, the word for crooked is scoliosis. That's where we get scoliosis. When you get a crooked spine, some spines, they'll just curve like a C when you have scoliosis. And when it's really bad, it'll be like an S. It'll be like a snake, you know, like an S curve. That would be horrendous. And it usually takes place when you're going into puberty. So it's a growth spurt. When a kid goes through a growth spurt, scoliosis can set in and you get a crooked spine. A crooked and perverse, twisted, upside down. But that's what he's saying. This is a generation. This is about genealogy. This is about genetics. You cannot get away from this. It's genetics. It's crooked and it's upside down and it's perverted. And we got to shine as lights in this. And you're looking at it and it's like total darkness. Reprobation is just teeming, taking over. You're looking at people like James Franco and Seth Rogen. Everywhere you see them, they're getting naked. They're kissing each other. They're putting forth a perverse spirit. If you can't see this, it's because you got the perverse spirit. You better wake up, because this is going on TV, prime time. Kids are seeing this. This is how the devil operates. He operates so stealthily, just little bits. It'll be just a 30-second movie clip, and they'll slide in some guy kissing another guy. They got a scene about, you got to take this thing and put it up your butt. You got to put it up your butt. And then the guy's just, he's putting it up his butt. They're spewing a homosexual spirit so big time. And if you disagree with me, you got problems. You're being taken over by this crooked and perverse generation if you don't agree with what I just said about that. This homosexual spirit, and that, don't be fooled, well, just because he's bisexual, there, look, a bisexual person, that's just a term. That person's a homosexual. A bisexual is a homosexual. Just because a guy sleeps with a girl, has sex with a girl, and also has sex with a guy, that somehow he's like, oh, that's he's just bisexual. No, he's a homosexual. And it's an abomination for a man to lie with a man as he does a woman. That's what God says. I didn't say it. I didn't make it up. I'm just repeating what he said. That's just the truth. But we got to deal with this. This ain't something that just gets swept under the carpet. Look, the world, if you just even think in basic terms of how corruption is, corruption can be somewhat subsided. Put a piece of fruit, pull it off a tree. Okay, even on the tree in this fallen world, even on the tree, the fruit is still attached to the lifeblood of the tree. Nourishment is going through the tree. The tree's living. Well, even though, the tree is really dying, but yet life is coming forth as fruit. So the seed is reproducing. But even on the tree, the fruit still attached to the tree, it'll rot off, fall to the ground, and just rot and decay. But you can take that fruit, pluck it off the tree, put it in a refrigerator, and it'll last longer. It will still corrupt, but it won't take as long as if you just put it in a room somewhere and let it sit on a table at room temperature. It's still going to rot. Just think about this throughout the eons, throughout the centuries. He just said we're living in a crooked and a perverse generation. Do you actually think that it's just going to, at some point, it's just stabilized and it just doesn't get any worse? Perversion just goes flatline? That's insane. This is getting worse. What we're marching into is so much more decadent than it was 100, 200, 2,000 years ago, we got to have a whole new makeup. We got to have a whole new outlook to really see what we're dealing with. This is so horrendous. The world is so horrendous. The stuff that they do in darkness, the stuff that people are doing today, the subcultures, the perversion is so rampant, and so sexual perversion is just pornography. It's teeming everywhere. Young children are just inundated with perversion and pornography. And people just want to sit in church and just listen to sermons and sing songs and praise God, and then you go home and you're watching something filthy like that. What is that? The black gal and the whatever that perverse show is. It's all, huh? I don't know what it is. I can't think of the name of it. Thank God. I don't know. You know what it is. But it's everywhere. It's in the music. It's in the television shows. It's just decadence, adultery, homosexuality, just emanating through the airwaves. And now it's getting to the point now where it's not even little doses anymore. They're just throwing big, huge gobs of it at you. And you're just being inundated with it. At some point, it's got to stop. At some point, you got to say, look, I ain't living in this. I ain't putting up with this. They want to talk about the rule of law and how that we have to abide by the rule of law and then the will of the people. I'm so sick of hearing that. These jokers talking about the will of the people. When the people vote against sodomite marriages, that's the will of the people. All right, let it go. Why didn't it just stand? But then some judge got to come along and just overturn the will of the people. And then at the same time, the president's going to sit there and talk about we have to honor the will of the people and we're in a democracy and blah, blah, blah. You lying dog. You're a lying dog. Don't get all frazzled up and frizzled up when you hear me say, call somebody a dog. I'll show you why in a minute. So we got to shine his lights in this perverse, crooked generation. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I may have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So there you see, it's possible to live your life in vain, believing that you believe in Jesus, you're rejoicing in the day of Christ, but it's possible to run in vain. This has to be done in spirit and in truth. Yes, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. He's talking about basically being poured out, offered. He's being offered upon the sacrifice. If I be poured out as a drink offering, and the service, that's the word where we get the word liturgy. So he's talking about ministering. Actually ministering, doing priestly duties, ministerial duties of your faith. I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do you joy and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded who would naturally care for your state. So Timothy was one guy that he could trust to be entrusted to take care of the church. Now that says a lot when you think about it. There was the one guy as an apostle. He's the best suited for the job. No doubt there's others, but it just shows us that this is a narrow way. There's a church leadership. Don't be fooled by all these so-called church leaders that you see everywhere. This is a rare breed right here we're talking about. Someone that would naturally care and want to help somebody else. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. I mean, that says a mouthful right there. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Paul always talked about Timothy as a son. He always referred to Timothy as a son, even though he wasn't his biological son, but he had that type of a fondness and a love for him, to see him as a son. And that's how it should be. That's a normal thing. That's just epitomizes life in the church as a family. Older people looking at younger people like their own kids. I experienced that this weekend with a couple of beautiful kids I was with at that football game. It's just like, you're just like with your own kids. It was great. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, so soon as I shall see how it will go with me. So he's planning on sending Timothy, see how things go. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly, if I get out of this jail. Yet I suppose it necessary to send you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that he heard that he had been sick. So Epaphroditus was his friend, and he had already gone there to Philippi and came back to bring stuff for Paul, but he got sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not only him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I sent him therefore the more carefully, that when you see him again, you may rejoice, and that I may be less sorrowful. Receive him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in high esteem and reputation. Because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. So what was going on was that he actually was bringing bringing things from the church to Paul. He was bringing whatever things he needed, whether it be money, food, clothes. He was bringing supply from the church. He'll talk about more of that later, but that's what. So Epaphroditus was basically like a he was just a they call him a fellow soldier. I was thinking as a foot soldier. He was just sent to work the supply line. So he was going to the church and bringing back supplies. Finally, chapter 3. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. So there you go. We got to be reminded. We got to say these things over and over. He's doing the same thing. You know, just by him saying that, that it was an often mentioned topic. To be on guard. To watch for deceivers. Listen to this. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. Okay? It's safe. He has to keep bringing this up. I write the same things to you. To me, it's not grievous. I don't mind doing this, but it's for your own good. We got to keep bringing it up. People are walking around in deception. They're deceived and being deceived by false Christians, false brethren. The word for concision is katatome. Tome being the second part of that word, which means to cut. And the kata prefix means to cut down or cut off. As opposed to what he says in verse 3, for we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The word circumcision is paratome, which means to cut around. So you see the difference. What the dog does, what the conciser does, is he cuts off, inhibits. You know how he says in Romans, they hold back the truth and unrighteousness? Those are the dogs. And believe me, there's dogs out there. Beware of the dogs. Just jump over to Matthew chapter 7 real quick. Matthew chapter 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast you pearls before swine, lest they trample them under your feet and turn again and rend you with your own words. So don't preach to the dogs. Don't give that which is holy, which is the Word of God, to the dogs. So somebody has to be able to discern who the dogs are and who the pigs are, the swine. And then somebody has to be able to say it just like that. Somebody gets offended when you talk like this. And this is the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ saying, beware of dogs, and the Lord himself. Don't give that which is holy to dogs. Who do you think he's talking about? Do you think this is just, he's talking about a real dog? Or you think you're going to go preach to a swine? Look, this is what he's saying. This is just cutting to the quick. Let's just get real about this. There are dogs out there. The apostle of the Lord God, Paul of Tarsus, says beware of dogs. So somebody has to be able to have the discernment to know who the dogs are and to call them as such. That's just the way it is. This comes with the authority. For we are of the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and in truth. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, the truth, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I the more. So what he's saying is we, all of us, have an inclination to lean to the flesh. It's just, that's the nature. That's the part of the nature that we're trying to overcome, that we're vying to overcome. That which would have a leaning towards the flesh. And that, in the context of what he's saying, he's talking about feelings. He's talking about getting into your feelings and leaning towards your emotions. And he says, I have the more reason, because then he goes into saying why. Because of the way he was brought up, about his tradition. I have a valid reason to lean towards the flesh because of the way I was brought up, which was being circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the genos. That's the genealogy, the genos of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. So he's saying, I was right there at the top of the heap. So if anybody has an occasion to want to gravitate to the flesh and to tradition, it's me. Because of the way I was raised, the way I was brought up, and concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So he was doing right. He was doing right as he persecuted the church. He was looked up and highly esteemed by that whole lineage of priests and scribes. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. So that's what once was preeminent in his life, and which was, he was just so proud. That's probably the best word to use to describe it. Just proud. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. I knew it all. I knew the law back and forth, both sides of my hands, inside and out. My phylactery was really puffed up. I had a big, huge phylactery. Yes, doubtless, and I count all those things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Some people say he counts it as rubbish. I'm kind of leaning towards the more emphatic description of dog dung. It's like dog feces. All that junk that I was raised in is like dog dirt, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteous, which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that which I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are in front of me. So he's saying, this is how you got to be balanced in this. He's like, I'm not saying that I've attained it either, but I know that we're being perfected and being made into a new creature. We have this flesh that we're dealing with. We're fighting an internal war, tradition, upbringing, culture. There's so many different variables involved in this, but I know I haven't gotten the whole thing yet. I don't understand everything about this, but I'm apprehended of Christ. So I forget putting all these things behind me, forgetting the things that are behind. Man, that is so important in this. The good and the bad. If you're walking with the Lord and you lay hands on somebody and you heal them, move on. Praise the Lord. Minister to the people. Move on. Don't get caught up in it. Don't get caught up in it, whether it's negative or positive. Because the devil will be lurking, trying to get you, trying to catch you up. Because he knows, he studied us. He knows how we were brought up. He's got a very methodic and intense network with who knows how many worker bees, so to speak, being able to report and spy out and do all these things to so that they can scheme and plot to try to overcome and to try to thwart. And you got to, that's why you can't just get caught up in it. You got to move on. What do we got here today? If I'm not where I'm at today, Lord, let me wake up and say, Lord God, let today be the day. And in verse 14, pressing on, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a high calling, a high calling. You just can't be satisfied with just going to church Sunday, going to Bible study Wednesday, listening to messages. There's a high calling. We got to move to a higher place. Let us therefore as many as be perfect be thus minded. And if anything be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. So trust that God will, if you ask especially. He says, if you ask anything in my name, I will give it to you. So we ask, hey Lord, it may hurt, it may be ugly, but hey, I got to deal with it at some point. And God, you know, he won't put on us more than we can bear, but you got to ask. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk so as you have us for an example. So again, there's a discernment that's involved in this. When you're walking in the Spirit, be followers together of me. You know, or in one place he said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's why he says you got to work this out, work this salvation out for yourself in fear and trembling. You have to have that connection through the Holy Spirit with Jesus Christ, that intimate personal relationship with Him, hearing from God for yourself, and He'll just guide you through every situation. You'll be able to know who's who and what's what. We got to walk in this at some point. We got to have this happen to where we're not casting our pearls before swine and giving that which is holy to dogs, but actually witnessing and ministering to people. You know, that reminded me of when he talked about contention, preaching those that preach contention and of selfish motivations. And I was downtown this past weekend. It was Saturday, and it was probably busier than a normal Saturday. There was just a lot of activity going around because of that football game. And I was just kind of walking around downtown, and at one point I'd seen some guys preaching, you know, they weren't really radical like some guys you see with the signs and the bullhorns, but they were just kind of just standing on a couple of corners there, just handing out tracts. But a couple of them were, they didn't have megaphones, but they're just, you know, like saying whatever, you know. And I'm just standing there, just leaning up against the building, just kind of watching. And just, you know, you just watch them and just like, you know, thinking, what? I mean, you hand out a track. He gave me a track. It had something to do with Christmas and the reason for the season and all that. It's like, you know, maybe somebody could get something out of that. That's cool. You know, whatever. But it just got me to thinking about how just to relate to people, how to just talk to people. And you know, where he said to be a light in this dark, crooked, perverse generation. And I just still can't get my mind around somebody that's just yelling, repent! Repent, for the kingdom is near! Repent! You're going to hell if you die in your sins! I just can't get my mind around that. I can't see how that's witnessing. And I'm sure enough, I'm just standing there minding my own business. And just some girl, she was a hooker, really pretty. She just comes up to me and is like asking if I know where I can go get something to eat. You know where there's a good place to get something to eat. She was putting the move on. She was trying. She was looking at me like a John, you know, get me out to take her out to grab lunch somewhere and then whatever, you know. But it was just her T-shirt had something about haters. You know, I can't remember what it said, but I just started talking to her and just asking her, you know, what does that mean? But it was just something about being able to talk to her. I talked to her for a minute. I gave her a card for the ministry. That's all you got at this point, you know. You want to be able to reach somebody however you can. Just talk to them. Sometimes you only got a minute with somebody. Because people are just on the go. They're just on the go. But it's just about being able to just talk to somebody without just jumping down their throat. You just kind of get them to let their guard down, you know, and just to let them know that, hey, you know, we're in a really crazy, weird world. And it's just a trap. It's all a snare. Everything down here is just about trying to steal from you, trying to take from you. You're doing whatever you can to just get ahead and try to just make it. And as soon as you get over a hump, it's like you just get slapped back down and you're back down in that hole. And it's just an ugly place. It's an ugly place. But we got to reach these people. We got to be lights in this perverse nation, generation. And it's just, how can that be done with just, you know, yelling at people and screaming at them? Now the gospel comes with, it comes with heat. There's going to be yelling. There's going to be preaching the gospel with zest and zeal at the appointed time. But personal relationship, personal interaction, that's how this is going to win souls. Okay, so back to verse 18. For many walk of whom I have told you often and how, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is their destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. That's the thing, is like somebody that's out there in that mindset preaching the gospel. They believe they're really sincere about the Lord, but it's, you know, what is that? Is that something that's just something for selfish motivation? Some of them even doing it so they get arrested. They try to get it to where I'm getting arrested, and now I'm, yeah, I got arrested for preaching the gospel on the street corner. Yeah! And it's all selfish motivation. People who mind earthly things. It's minding earthly things. You can see that glaringly on social media. People will always jump to something that's earthly, something that's earthly, not heavenly. You'll see, post something that's just a secular. It could be a cute video, and people will just be all, oh yeah, 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 that's great. I love that, love that. When you get to really serious spiritual matters, you start seeing less and less. When you get to the carnal, spiritual, you know, the church and the homosexual pastors and the adultery in the church and the fall, then people start jump on that because it's an earthly thing. People mind earthly things. Watch out! You got to watch out down here. This is a narrow way. Few there be that find it. So these people mind earthly things. For our conversation, our conduct, our lifestyle is in heaven. We mind heavenly things. And from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So that's where we're waiting. That's the day of the Lord, knowing that when this culminates, finally, we'll be out of this bodysuit, out of this confining flesh, vile body. I mean, he called it a vile body. Lord, come quickly. Chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Look how he talks about the church, how he talks about, dearly beloved, I long for you, my joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias, and beseech Syntyche, that they may be of the same mind in the Lord. So here's a couple of folks that are kind of, there's some kind of debate or some strife going on, so he's just begging them. He probably had some kind of interaction through Timothy or himself personally, but so he's just saying, hey, I know these two guys are butting heads about it, but I pray that they be of the same mind. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. That is really serious right there. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts, shall guard your hearts and the minds through Christ Jesus. And he's in the Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 4, that he says, guard your heart. And how do we guard our heart? By prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, making requests known to God. And he will, by the peace of God, give us these things. Everything that is, we can't even fathom it. It passes all understandings. But that's how we guard our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, again, finally, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care with me has flourished again, wherein you are also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to be abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So what he's saying is that you get to the point where you don't care one way or the other. If you're disconnected from the cares of this world, you're being made neutrally charged, and you'll be able to be content whether you have a lot, whether you're being, you know, your job is flourishing, or if it's, hey, you're still struggling, it's still paycheck to paycheck, if that, maybe you don't even have a job. But I just ain't believing that God, that's his intent, that's his will, for somebody to be like in total poverty and just impoverished. That is a curse, and that thing has to be bound and just destroyed on anybody's life that's a Christian, because that's just not God's will. But at the same time, depending on how your life is, what your life is, what he's called you to do, there may be times where it's just going to be lean and you just don't care, because if you don't have the lust for the thing, then you don't care. So it doesn't matter. He's instructed both to be to deal with either, whether I'm full and or hungry. If I got it, if I don't have it, it doesn't matter. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. A real good interpretation or translation of that is, I can do all things through the one who empowers me from within. Through Christ, we're strengthened. Notwithstanding, you have well done, and you did communicate with my afflictions. Now, you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So what he's saying is that the Philippians were donating to the church. The Philippians had a sense of being able to give. And it's a back and forth. The apostles and the leadership feed the flock, and the flock in kind reciprocate with physical, tangible resources. This is how the church is. But then he said, even in Thessalonica, they weren't doing this, and apparently, for whatever reason, they weren't doing this in Thessalonica, the church in Thessalonica. So the Philippians were taking care of him when he was in Thessalonica. And it's not because he desired, something personally. It's not about personal gratification, but it's for the fruit that may abound to your account. So you're sustaining, being sustained by them. So he's on the road. This is when, referring back to when he was, now he's locked up as he's writing this, but he's recounting how it was back when he was on the road, being a traveler and an apostle. He was being taken care of. But it all works to the preaching of the gospel. You're just sustaining, you're being sustained so that you can continue forth. That has to be the church. That's the real church. Right now, you got the world billowing in billions of dollars. False churches billowing in millions and billions of dollars. I mean, at least some of them are feeding the poor, but what good is it to feed somebody to sustain their life, but you don't have the real life? That church doesn't really have the life that they really need. I guess thank God that they're feeding them, that they'll still be alive for that day when the real church is able to rise up and stand up and bring the truth to bear on the entire globe. But it's going to take resources. That's why we're preparing the minds and the thinking processes to think like this. Many people have been just turned back from giving because of how they were done by the false church. And that has to be broken. That's a stronghold that has to be broken. So Paul, this is all in the scriptures. It's all over the place. This is a reciprocal thing. It has to go back and forth. Give and take. Selfless people don't just hoard up stuff. It's for the propelling of the gospel. But I have all in abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. That's what he's referring to, was the money, whatever they sent, the resources, food, clothes, money, whatever he needs to sustain to do his job. It's to do a job, to do an accomplish a mission, to carry out a task, to do the work of the ministry. And it's an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice that's acceptable and well-pleasing to God. Giving of our resources. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. P.S. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. So that's another inclination to think that he was in Rome when he was writing this. And he's rubbing elbows with Caesar's household. And there were saints there. So that's what he was saying before when he was talking about being in the palace and the gospel still being preached forth, was because they're just preaching the gospel wherever you are. That's all there is at this point. And especially when you're locked up. Why stop then? You might as well just keep going. So there's saints that are in Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So there's Philippians, four little chapters. There's more to get out of it, but we read Philippians. So we'll continue our preaching of the gospel. We'll continue to bring this until the day of the Lord. Waiting for the church to burst forth, waiting for God to move. But in the meantime, all we got to do is just keep bearing down. get into this, get into prayer, get into fasting. We gotta turn this up another notch. Going into this, the end of the year, we keep saying it, we're going to keep saying it, but we can't go into 2015 like we did in 2014. We got to do, something's got to happen. We got to push the pedal to the metal. Another push. This is labor pains, birth pains. We're laying on this table. We got to get this thing out. We got to work out this flesh. We got to beat this flesh. This is what the devil's doing. He's beating the saints down with the flesh and the cares of this life. We got to set it aside. We got to do this. This is paramount. It's time for that last push. So just remember the ministry and prayer. Remember us when you can financially. Keep us in prayer. This is not easy. This is not an easy thing. And it's going to take a transformed universal church to take on this horde from hell. So God, now we thank you for bringing us your word, for bringing us your mercy and your grace, for bringing your salvation, for making a way where there otherwise is no way. This world is spiraling into decay and death, God, and the only recourse is the Church of Jesus Christ, is the living Christ, the living God, manifested through the church to bring the gospel, to bring salvation, to bring good news, Lord. Do this now, God. Do this. Raise this church up, Lord God. Forgive us of our transgressions, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to show the things to us that are hindering us and binding us. Give us the strength to overcome these things, Lord, that we can be that light, that we can go into the darkest corners of the world as a light, to extend a hand to a lost soul that wants to come out, that desires freedom and life and liberty. In Jesus' name we pray, and we thank you, God.